Father, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds now as we come to your word, for we ask it in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. So good morning, people of West Hill Community Church. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here. So excited was I. You know when you're going away on holiday, I don't know if you're like this, but when I'm going away somewhere, particularly if I'm going away on holiday, I can't sleep because I'm just so excited that I just can't sleep. 3 o'clock in the morning, this morning, I just couldn't sleep. I thought, what's going on here? And I realised that I'm going to West Hill. That's what's going on. I wished it was only that. It was really, you know, this year has been so hard, hasn't it? In so many different ways. We've had so many freedoms restricted. We may have lost people to this awful virus. But there have been pluses in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the loss, in the midst of the pain. One of the things that I hope, that we've all realised, I certainly realised this, is to make the most of the opportunities that the Lord gives you. So 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm awake, wide awake, not able to sleep. And I think, right, I'll just go over notes, Lord, what I'm going to say this morning when I get to West Hill. I still couldn't sleep. I'm out of my bed about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, right, maybe I could just have a wee sleep on the sofa downstairs because I'm disturbing Ali. Ali's just got her first vaccine on Friday, so it's a little bit ropey over the weekend. So I'm thinking maybe I'll get a wee dose. Still can't sleep. So I thought, right, I'm just going to hit the road, and I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to travel to West Hill and get there early, but I'm going to go via Glenshee and come through the mountains. And the cloud was down and it was foggy in Edinburgh when I left. It was pretty miserable. Got to the mountains and it was glorious. The Lord has been good to me on the journey here. I even got here with 15 minutes to spare. So it was really exciting to be able to take that opportunity, make the most of what the Lord has given to me. And actually, that's another bonus of this year. When you reach my vast age, you get to the point of thinking, I don't know that I'm going to learn very much more before I come to the end of my run, as it were. But this year, I probably learned more stuff, new skills and new abilities, than the previous 10 or 15. Because suddenly in March last year, March into April, I not only had to pastor a church, but I also had to learn all the jobs that those guys over there are doing, plus how to stream. So on a Sunday, it just had become, my little man cave in the rectory has become like a studio with lights and cameras and microphones, really good microphones. And I've learned how to use that. Oh, it was great when we got to the point of being back in church and just being able to say, you guys, get on with it. Let's give thanks for the techies. But I've had to learn stuff, and actually I look back on it and I think, Lord, thank you for that opportunity to learn things, because I would never have made the decision to learn how to do online stuff and all of that unless this has happened. But I'm going to refer to various things to do with that in this talk this morning. If you've got a Bible, I'm sure the words will come up as well. It'd be useful if you had Matthew 25 in front of you, ready to look at it. I think the idea behind this, the giving me this passage, was to do that thing that pastors love to talk about, which is to talk about stewardship. It's called that often, money, talents, and all of that. Ministers just love that. They really love it when they have to preach on that subject. And I think that was the idea. It's easier for, and particularly if it's somebody else coming in to do it, it's maybe easier to do that. But actually, if you look at this passage carefully, it isn't so much, It's not about as much about stewardship as you might think it is, or at least not stewardship of the things that we often talk about in church, like money and talent and time. It's to do with that, but it's actually much, much deeper. And you've got to take a step back from it, because it's Jesus is telling this story, giving this picture, in a context where he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. The story immediately before it is the parable of the 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins are looking out for the bridegroom. Here's the bridegroom, he's coming. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. So it's looking to Jesus, who's coming, and to be expectant and thinking, the bridegroom's coming. How wonderful is that? So Jesus tells that story, then he tells the story of the parable of the talents. And then there's a third story immediately afterwards. Did you notice this? That Jesus tells? And it's the story of the sheep and the goats. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So there's something in there, Jesus is saying, which is about the gospel, the power of the gospel, the importance, the significance of the gospel, that a day of judgment will come when God will separate the sheep from the goats. And that's a really significant pattern that Jesus is giving us. Expectancy of the groom coming, the bridegroom coming, the use of the resources that God has given to share the gospel message so that people will hear it, and on that day of judgment, God will say, you're a sheep. I was once doing a mission at Edinburgh University. I was an assistant missioner way back in the day, about 50 years ago or something. And we were talking about the people that we'd met during the day as we'd gone around the university campus. And some of us used the expression non-Christians. Others of us used the expression non-believers. Somebody used the word pagan. And then a very wise and sage, godly man called Captain Stephen Anderson, he was sitting in the corner, and he'd just been listening to all this conversation about all our encounters. And he just quietly said, do you know, I think we should use a biblical term. I think we should be talking about the goats. We met some goats today. And we just shut up at that. You never heard anyone talking about anybody. And we didn't use the term goats. We just, in case someone heard us, described them as a goat. Goats are actually quite nice, aren't they? Creatures. So it's not derogatory to describe them in that way. But what Jesus is doing here is Jesus is trying to get people to have a right focus. And you see, if we're thinking about everything that we have and everything that we are, the starting place for us is, what's the most precious thing? It's to ask the question, what is the most precious thing that you as a follower of Jesus has? What's the most important thing in life? And the answer is Jesus himself. It's the most amazing thing. He's our hope, he's our focus, he's our desire, he's the one we put first. Another one of the great joys of lockdown has been binge watching. Have you done that? Hands up if you've done any binge watching. All right, Netflix, Amazon, all that. The best binge watching thing I have seen during lockdown is that series, The Chosen. Anyone seen that? Not very many. Have you not come across this? Just show me again. Just show me. A few people have. I mean, it's the most amazing story of Jesus calling the disciples. And you get it on a little app, or you can watch it on YouTube. Stop watching Netflix. Don't. We'll probably get banned. They'll stop the stream for saying stuff like that. But don't watch that. Watch this. Watch The Chosen. Because there you see this amazing portrayal of Jesus, who is God and man. It is the best portrayal, the funniest portrayal, the most human portrayal of the Lord Jesus I have ever seen. It's so moving. You cannot watch it without having your heart warmed, your heart moved. Your eyes will well up. Even the men, your eyes will well up in tears as you encounter, as you see this presentation of the person of Jesus. He is the most precious, most wonderful person, thing that we have. And that's the starting point for all of our stewardship. That we have him. He has us and we have him. We belong to him. He calls us brothers. He calls us sisters. But another term that's used in the New Testament is slaves. We are slaves. We belong to Jesus. We are his servants. But it's a wonderful relationship. And so when we come to the parable of the talents, we get this image of the master going away and giving responsibility to the servants to use what the master has to his best advantage, not to their advantage, but to his advantage, to achieve as much as they possibly can with what he has given them. And the goal of that, the picture, I think, is about making Jesus known. It's about allowing others to see who Jesus is. Now, you see, if we look at the passage itself and we see the different reactions, one of the things that could happen is that if you're given some money or some talents, you can keep it to yourself. That's one option, isn't it? Here's some money. Here's £1,000. Anyone, I've got my checkbook in my pocket. Anyone like £1,000? A few of you would appreciate that. And you know, I'd just say, here you are, go and do with it what you like. And you can just use it. You can keep it to yourself. You can buy something nice, buy a new phone, or do whatever you want. Go on a nice holiday if we're allowed to travel somewhere. We can use it just for our own edification, for our own enjoyment. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If we're given the resources, we should use it well. And perhaps that will mean that we use it for enjoyment purposes. But actually, if we apply this to the kingdom of God, you see, the first parable in chapter 25 is about, well, this is what the kingdom of God is like. The second parable, it's also like this. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. If it's about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like, then the one thing we must not do is be selfish with the resources that God has given to us. One of the upsides of being in lockdown for a large part of the last year, some parts of Scotland, particularly Glasgow, are still in level 3, so they're still experiencing this. But one of the joys has been that although the church building might have been closed, the church has still met on a Sunday. It's been great. You know, we've still been able to gather. People will gather online afterwards on Zoom. We do that as well back at St. Thomas's in Edinburgh. And it's been great to be able to do that. But there is a negative side. There is a downside as well. So we're coming out of lockdown now and we're able to enjoy life a little bit more. And it's great to be at home and to be watching this, and some of us maybe are a little bit nervous and maybe we've not been vaccinated yet. But some of us, I know my new name is Two Jags. I told my wife that she should call me Two Jags, Dave. And she hasn't done that. But some of us might be nervous about coming out, and that's understandable. But, of course, it's great to be able... We have to stream now. All churches everywhere are streaming their services. We have to do that. We will not be able to stop it. It's so tempting to say, we're not going to stream anymore. Do you know why? Because we want you to come to church, because it's not the same. Watching at home in your jammies with your nice mug of coffee that's endlessly fill-upable during the service, and you can wind through if the preacher's rubbish or, you know, you're not enjoying it, you can just put the mute on. You could do that from the desk as well. Or you can wind through it or whatever. You can watch it later. But it ain't the same. It's wonderful that we can do it if you're watching at home or wherever. But it's not the same as gathering like this. And we have to ask ourselves, well, I'd like to ask myself this question. Is, you know, at one level, when we were coming out of lockdown, I was like, I don't want to go back to church. It's much easier. It's easier for me tumbling out of bed in the morning, doing the service in my jammy bottom still on, just putting a shirt on, but still being in my jammy. That's confession, by the way, that I've just offered there. It's easier to do that. And I had to really say to the Lord, Lord, I know that I'm just wanting an easy life. I'm just wanting an easy life. Forgive me, Lord. I need to be getting back with the people of God. And at some point, we're going to have to start encouraging one another to meet again. We're thinking that a lot of Scotland will go to level one a week tomorrow. Do you know what level one means? Level one means, if it happens, if Mother Scotland, as she's known, announces midweek that we can go to level one next, a week on Monday, week tomorrow, it means that we can come to church and we can sing. And it's really difficult, isn't it? Rory, you playing? I'm singing. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Sing, you're all doing it as well. Just admit it. It's actually, and you can do it at home, you can belt it out at home, and I'm sure many people are, you're probably able to belt it out more at home. But you know something? We need to do it together. Because it's such an encouragement and such a help. And it's using the resources God has given to us well. You see, we've got different options that we can do with the resources God has given to us. We can use it, or we can lose it, or we can hoard it. See, that was the problem with the servants who were given the stuff. Some of us would just use up what we were given. Some of us would lose it. We wouldn't use it very well, and we would just blow it on doing the stuff that we want to do, the stuff that we enjoy. And some of us hoard the stuff that is we would regard as being, we just want to keep it for ourselves. There's a little picture that might come up here. I don't know if it'll come up or not, but it's been in the press this week about the Galloway hoard. Have you heard about this? Which is Viking treasure that someone about 1,000 years ago buried down in Galloway, and it's going to be touring around Scotland. It's the thought of someone gathering all this precious gold and silver and jewels and stuff and putting them in a hoard, putting them in a jar or whatever, and burying it and just hoarding it against the day when they'll be able to come back. And obviously, they never came back to get it. Be fascinated to find out what happened to the person or persons that buried it. And sometimes spiritually we do that as well. We hoard what God has given to us. We can hoard spiritual experience because we move from one experience to another. We can hoard church experience. We go from one church to another. If you live in a big city, that's often what people do. They move around the different churches going for the best spiritual experience, and they hoard onto it. And then they never give it away. They don't go and tell anybody else about it. They don't express their faith to anybody else. They're just out for effects. And Jesus says to us, that's not a particularly helpful way of using what I've given to you. See, if we look at these verses, what the master does is he gives talents to these servants, expecting them to use it. He entrusts them with something. It's an amazing word, doesn't it? It's a word that's used here by the servants. They say, you entrusted me, verse 20, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. You've entrusted me with 5 talents. Now, we could easily say some of you have been given money and you've been entrusted with that by the Lord to use well. Or you've been entrusted with great talents. You're a great singer, guitarist, songwriter, tweeter. And you've got great abilities, and that's wonderful. But you've been entrusted with those things with a purpose. And the purpose is to make Jesus known, to share Jesus. So he entrusts us with time and talent and treasure and all those things. The Lord entrusts us with that. You see, our culture, our time is so precious to us now. If Jesus is the most precious thing we have, then all of our time belongs to him. So when we're at work, if we've got work, when we're at work or when we're at school, The time that we're using in those places is time that the Lord has given to us to make the most of, to make connections with people, to share Jesus with people. When we were at home with our family, with our children, or our grandparents, or our parents, that time is entrusted to us to use well and to use wisely for God's glory and God's purpose. You see, everything we have, we don't separate off things that are precious and things that are not precious, the things that are important to us, work and church life. The two things go together. Home life and church life. We don't separate those things off. That's all time that has been given to us to the glory of God. But you see, one of the difficulties for us now is it's sometimes harder in the church because we treat our time as if it's our own and we sort of hoard it like mad. So it's quite hard to get people sometimes to volunteer. I'm sure it's not the case in West Hill Community Church. I'm not pointing the finger at you at all. But sometimes I know in my experience, it's hard to get people to volunteer and to commit to stuff. Let me tell you about a lady I know. She's one of our patrons, trustees. And she has served as a guide leader for something like, I'm going to say 40 years plus. A guide, she leads the guides every Friday night for 40 years. And she's about to retire from that role. Anybody want to come down to Edinburgh and take it on? Give up every Friday night for the next 40 years? You see, the world has changed. You know, we've got many more things going on in our lives, much more entertainment. Netflix is available to us. We've got more money in our pocket to maybe go and do stuff and to enjoy life. But that idea of giving our time and our talents in the service of God so that Jesus might be known, we're maybe not so willing to be committed to that. Our talents are precious to God, and as we emerge from lockdown, it's going to become more and more important that people give of their talents, they use the abilities that they've been given to God's praise and glory. And similarly, with treasure, with our money. You've been saving huge amounts of money over the last 16 months since your rector retired. You know, it was so expensive to keep. But you know, you'll get to that point where maybe we need to be thinking, we need someone to come in and help us a little bit, to be pointing to Jesus and trying to keep us all together. Maybe you'll get to that point, maybe you won't. I'm not suggesting for a moment that I'm not trying to step on toes there. But you'll get to the point where things are beginning to happen, things are beginning to open up. And the Lord will say to the people of West Hill, right folks, it's time. You've got to be thinking about your giving again. You've got to be putting it all, everything you are, you need to surrender to me. And we need to get going again. We need to get active. We need to be investing. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to investing. You see, that's what these guys did. The servants did. They invested or failed to invest what God had given to, what the master had given to them. Some invested, someone didn't. And we have that choice to make. Are we going to be people who invest what God has given to us in making Jesus known? Whether that's our money, and some of us have money and some of us don't. Whether that's our talents, and some of us have talents. But actually, all of us have talents. Sometimes you might not feel like that. I don't feel that I'm particularly talented. I don't feel I'm particularly good at anything. But I still have talents. And God can still use me, even though I will feel that about myself. And you see, we invest in order to be constantly learning. Let me end where I started. This year has been a year of learning. Learning about God's love for me. Learning about how God might use me in different ways from the ones perhaps I expected. Developing. You see, as we invest our time and our energy, we begin to hear and see God at work in us and through us and around us, beginning to touch people because we're totally invested in who he is and what he's done for us in his son Jesus, through his work on the cross, through his death, through his life, through his resurrection, through his ascension into heaven and through the giving of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the day, these servants can either leave a legacy or not leave a legacy. That's the point. The master is going to say, well, what have you managed to do with what I gave you? Are you going to have a legacy or not? And all of us here and all of us watching can leave a legacy that makes a difference. And I'm not talking about writing something in your will. I've been writing my, this is how morbid I've become. I'm getting so, I've thought, right, better write a will. And if you saw my driving this morning, you might understand why I was so concerned about that. But you have to think about it, don't you? What are you going to leave? What resources you've been given? How are you going to distribute that? How are you going to use that? But the legacy here is the investment we've made in Jesus, in the kingdom values, in making Jesus our goal, our heart's desire, our focus. What is our legacy going to be in terms of him? What difference has our faith made in the lives of our families, of our colleagues, of our friends, of our neighbours, of our church? See, we think about the money and we think about the talents, but we don't think about that ultimate legacy. What's your funeral service going to be like? Are people just going to talk about what a nice person you are? Maybe they'll talk about what a non-nice person you were, if the people were being honest. Or will they talk about, this person was all out for Jesus. He invested, she invested everything they had in knowing Jesus and walking with him and making Jesus known. You see, that's the end of the story that Jesus tells, isn't it? When Jesus tells the story, he makes it clear for everyone who has been given, who will be given more and will have an abundance. You see, there's a wonderful positive picture there of the investment that God makes in us. And he expects us to invest what he gives us. So what will your legacy be? How will God use you today, this week, in the months and in the years to come? What will the legacy, what will my legacy be? What will your legacy be? And what will the legacy be of West Hill Community Church?